Morning to you. As you've been hearing over the last number of days, if you're rich enough, you can pull a move that avoids paying as much tax as you'd have to pay if you weren't able to pull a move, so to speak. Let me speak to Jamie DeLargy, business commentator. Jamie, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
I can imagine you, Jamie, sitting up in bed of a morning with the Financial Times admiring these people.
Not quite, no. No, I think, funny enough, the tax man, if you like, HMRC has it. These ruses that the very rich have adopted. Essentially, it's bending the rules, and that's really important because it's not breaking the rules. Tax evasion is when you actually break the rules, and there's no question about it. You have to pay the money back. But this is tax avoidance, and it is. It may be, and in fact probably is, within the letter of the law, but it's not within the spirit of the law. In other words, the Parliament, when they set up these rules, intended you to pay this tax, and you've managed to find a way round the rules, which may be and probably is totally legal. But a lot of people will feel it's not fair because they don't have the access to the smart lawyers, the clever accountants, and indeed, you know, access to these tax havens to be able to avoid paying tax. So even if it is legal, it's people don't feel it's on. They don't feel it's just the right thing to do. And the thing that the government or government should do is abolish tax havens. They don't serve any useful purpose at all except to enable the super rich to avoid paying tax.
So is that the message to the British Crown dependencies then?
That's correct. I mean, they don't serve any function. They don't help the world economy. It's no point in somebody coming on to you and saying, "Oh, actually, this helps us. This helps to oil the wheels of commerce." No, it doesn't. It just enables very, very powerful companies and very rich people to avoid paying tax, as you pointed out in your introduction there, the sort of tax that the rest of us have to pay. And when you think of what just the ordinary Joe has to pay when you earn over 45,000, which is a decent amount of money, but they're paying 40% in tax, and then they're paying national insurance on top of that, it's getting close to half what they earn is disappearing. And then you see these other people who are working moves to avoid paying tax. And it makes people angry, and justly so.
Yeah, just stay with me there, Jimmy. I want to speak to Jim Clarkin, who's with Oxfam. Jim, good morning. We see Jim is on line 3. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Frank. Hi.
Not only with Oxfam, but Oxfam Ireland CEO. Jimmy says this makes people angry. Does it make people in your position angry?
Very angry, and Jamie's absolutely spot on. I mean, the as he rightly points out, these tax havens offer no economic benefit whatsoever. They're there for one specific reason, which is for people, extremely wealthy people and large corporations, to find ways to avoid paying their fair share of tax. And the important thing, the numbers are staggering, and the reports that you've been reading over the last and listening to over the last couple of days are absolutely mind-boggling. But the important thing to remember in all of this is that there's a human impact. So whether it's people here in Northern Ireland who are not receiving the services that they need, or the very high rates of tax that individuals are paying, as has been mentioned, or from our perspective in developing countries where you look at the kind of money that's been lost, we estimate that it's $100 billion or thereabouts a year lost from developing countries alone. I mean, that would save the lives of millions of people, not to mention, you know, enhancing economies and so on. So we really need to see an eradication of these tax havens. And the at the heart of all of these issues, when you peel it back, is a lack of transparency. There's no transparency here, so we can't follow the money. So that's what allows these people to use these specialist companies and solicitors firms and so on, accountancy firms, to do this. So what we really need to see is a change, and this has to be intergovernmental. One government can't do it on its own, although the British government has a responsibility to look specifically to its own areas in the you know, Bermuda, which is where a lot of this, and Jersey, the Cayman Islands and the British Virgin Islands are some of the worst offenders in this instance. So we need to see this week is a great opportunity for the Chancellor to use the budget to look at, you know, changing those rules and strengthening things like what we call country by country reporting, which is very simple. That means that any corporation has to report the profit it makes in a given jurisdiction and the tax that it pays in that jurisdiction. At the moment, they're deliberately muddying the water there and giving us net figures, but it's very difficult for exchequers and revenues around the world to be able to identify that. And there are other measures that need to be taken, and they need to be taken collectively to say, look, the days of the tax haven have to be ended.
Yeah, one of the main companies coming in for criticism, the bigger the company that's involved here, the more the criticism, I presume, certainly the greater the tax they're avoiding having to pay. Apple, however, emphasising that they pay about $8 billion, B for billion, dollars, no, that's pounds, $8 billion a year in tax. That's a hell of a lot of tax, and they are paying that.
Well, it's all relative. I mean, you know, people listening to this show are paying, as has been mentioned, nearly up 50% of their income in tax. So, I mean, that is not anywhere near what would be considered to be an even, I would imagine, an equitable percentage of Apple's global profits, which are in the multiple billions. So, I mean, it's all relative to scale, isn't it? But what we know as well is that those kinds of companies are spending a lot of money lobbying and using lobbyists to influence government. And these are the lobbyists that you or I don't have access to, but they have a huge influence in government policy or in encouraging governments to move in a particular direction. And that's part of this kind of murky underbelly that's part of this system that we just need to blow a hole through.
If people were paying tax the way that you or I pay tax as PAYE people, if these multinational companies were paying their tax based on some sort of similar basis, would the money that's available eradicate the problems that Oxfam are dealing with?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, we know that, you know, the amount of money that's been lost would pay for full education systems, would pay for decent health systems. And we know just during the Ebola crisis, the country of Liberia, which is about the same size as the island of Ireland, had 200 doctors in it because it didn't have sufficient resource to pay for doctors. And there's a large-scale tax avoidance happening from that country. So one country alone, just to give an example, and the difference that could have made in the Ebola response, which ultimately not just affected the people of Liberia, but potentially had the potential to affect the entire world. So there's an absolute lack of fairness here, and a lack of, you know, opportunity. And in developing countries, particularly, corporation taxes is key, because as they build tax structures for individuals, the corporation tax element of it is one that's a bit more straightforward, or should be, if companies were doing the right thing. So, yeah, look, I mean, we're not talking about hammering companies here. We need companies to have innovations, to provide jobs, to do all those good things that they do in society, provide services and so on. But we also need them to be responsible and to pay their fair share to ensure that even the things like the investments that they require, they require us here in Northern Ireland to have good quality education. They require good quality roads. They require all those things for their companies to be successful. Well, they need to pay their fair share towards that, if that's the case.
And do you think the actors and pop stars and racing drivers who are all being embarrassed on the front page of the newspapers over the last few days, should they be ashamed?
They should be ashamed, yeah, they should be ashamed. My fear, though, is that, I mean, and rightly, people will be angry at individuals, and they're absolutely right to be angry at individuals, but what we need to kind of to focus on here is an endemic problem that needs to be addressed, and needs to be addressed at that governmental level and at that intergovernmental level. What we as Oxfam are calling for is a global tax body that where all, you know, whether it's through the UN or a similar mechanism, where countries can come together and can negotiate, you know, what is a global fair tax system. And we're not talking about tax rates being the same everywhere, that's not going to happen, but a system that's transparent and clear, and ultimately a trajectory to completely rid ourselves of tax havens, which provide no benefit to anybody except those uber wealthy and those big corporations.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much indeed. Jim Clarkin, Oxfam Ireland's CEO. Jimmy, when you hear it from someone who's running the Irish arm of an international charity, you're reminded of how vital taxes are generally to ensure that people are on more of an equal footing. And you do begin to get a bit angry with those who are avoiding paying their fair share.
Well, you know, I think nobody wants to pay tax. I mean, let's face it, there's not a person in this world that actually gleefully sends off the cheque if that's what's required to the tax authorities and thinks that's brilliant. I mean, everybody hates doing it. But it is necessary because, as Jim pointed out, it goes to pay for all those services. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, I don't want to pay tax. And I have a sneaking sympathy for these people who avoid paying tax. I mean, they've got away with it. I wish I could get away with it. And then complain, oh, goodness me, look at the schools. They're not what they are. Look at the roads full of potholes. I mean, the tax is simply that which is taken off us to pay for services. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is we all have a wee bit of sort of double think in this one. We don't want to pay tax, but we at the same time, we want the services that we depend on, we value, to be fully funded. But the reality is for most of us, for 99% of us, there's no avoiding the tax. I mean, it's either taken out its source or there's no way around it. And you don't have anybody smart to work on your behalf. So you end up paying it. Now, and I think the fact of the matter is we'd all like the rest of those people who can have the smart lawyers, who can have the smart accountants, we want them to pay up too. But there is a difference. There is actually a difference between these Paradise Papers and the Panama Papers that were discovered, I think, last year. It turns out, as far as I can see, that the judgment appears to be that most of these schemes discovered, most if not all of these schemes, are legal. I mean, so they're just, in other words, they're getting away with it. They're legally getting away with it. In the Panama case, the tax authorities in the UK expect to get maybe £100 million of tax to sow to them. And that's, as I say, in the Panama Papers. But in this Paradise Papers, after this is all done and dusted, it may be that there's actually no money to be reclaimed from the individuals who've perhaps been highlighted in the media recently. So that exposes the thing. It's not a matter of, you know, of some place saying, oh, well, you know, do the wrongdoers. The reality is that doesn't take you far enough. We really have to get rid of these tax havens so that there just isn't the possibility to do what people seemingly can do legally.
And finally, Jimmy, we started the conversation talking about, you know, people who would be working, for example, in our building and the building down the road. Most people are paying between 20 and 40% tax here. What percentage are these multinationals and these hugely wealthy people paying? If you're paying between 20 and 40%, what are they paying?
Well, it's more complicated. I mean, first of all, down south, you're paying 12.5%. And if you you can end up with various things and paying less than that. So you might have a firm down, you know, in the south. And after all, we were going to replicate that here.
These international firms coming into the Republic who will be paying 12.5%. Not a citizen of the Republic. They're paying 50%. They're paying 50%.
Yes, but the local companies are paying 12.5%. First of all, this is something that benefits all companies in the south and would have benefited all companies in Northern Ireland. So you're talking about very low rates of tax. But I think
talking about corporation tax there.
Yes, we're talking about corporation tax, but that's what obviously companies are paying. But it's more complicated than that in the sense that if you have, and this is a defence, and look, I'm not going to waste too much time in defending what these large companies do, but they point out that they pay very substantial salaries to the workers that they have on their books, and those individuals then basically can't escape paying high rates of income tax. So they point out, okay, so we have low rates of corporation tax, so we don't pay a vast amount of money, relatively speaking. But the people that work for us end up paying it one way or the other, or they buy goods which have a 20% VAT rate on it. So in many ways, sort of the tax system catches up with people eventually. But the reality is that if you have a good tax avoidance, I don't want to use the word good, if you have an effective tax avoidance system, you clearly are hoping to end up paying less than you would had you just sort of done it without using the scheme. But, you know, these schemes are constantly being looked at by the tax authorities, and if they find that, no, they don't comply with the rules, or in fact that you indeed, whether they comply or not, that you actually owe the money to the tax authorities, they will come after you. And so there is always the risk, and I think it's a very good, like it's very good that it's hanging over these people who try these schemes, that some way, that sometime the tax authorities will write to them and say, you thought your scheme was legitimate, you thought that it was all above board. In fact, I can tell you, no matter what you think, you owe us money, now start paying up, and start paying up right now.
But first and foremost, I did say finally, but just on the back of that, first and foremost, you answer to the shareholder as opposed to the Ebola sufferer in Liberia.
Well, I mean, in some ways, yes, if you're a company, but if you're an individual, of course, I think some people will rightly think that they have duties all around the world, and I mean, Jim Clark in there obviously identified, you know, pressing needs, and so this money certainly, when it would be gathered up, if the authorities can gather it up, will certainly go to a good use and a good cause.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much. Thank you very much to Jim Clarkin, CEO of Oxfam Ireland as well. It's just a reminder of the amounts, the absolutely incredible amounts of money that are being held back from where they should be. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Your opinions, of course, always very welcome.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Let me check to see what's on Clive's mind this morning. Good morning, Clive.
Good morning, Frank. I wanted to take issue with something you said to the fellow from Oxfam.
Okay, this is Mr. Jim Clarkin. Go ahead, yep.
Right, well, you said to him, if HMRC was able to close this loophole, and rightly so, the money that the big multinationals were skimming off and hiding away, that it would help the like of Oxfam and other charities. Surely the goodness, that money should come back into the exchequer to help the people of the United Kingdom with health and housing and education, and not be given it all away to foreign countries. I don't get me wrong, I'm not against aid. But Frank, the money that these multinationals, you're telling me, are skimming off, that should be coming back into the HMRC and the United Kingdom, should be spent back in the United Kingdom and not squandered away, given it away to somebody else.
Yeah, but Clive, they're not only avoiding paying tax to the UK, they're avoiding paying tax in a number of areas around the world.
And Frank, do you think this is new? Do you think this has just come up because Panorama put a programme up last night? This has been going on for 20 years plus. The only problem is, and listen carefully everybody, their names are on a list. I mean, the hounded Brendan O'Carroll's company for skimming off money. But let me tell you, BBC Scotland had to pay Brendan O'Carroll's company. Do you think BBC Scotland didn't know that the money they were paying was going to a company in Mauritius? Of course it did.
Clive, hold on. We have no evidence at all of how Mr. O'Carroll's company is paid by BBC Scotland. I do not know how BBC Scotland actually write the cheques for Mr. O'Carroll's company, and we have no right to even be discussing whether what BBC Scotland know about how any of their talent would be paid. This is important. This is important to point out. We also should emphasise that what the O'Carrolls who were mentioned in Panorama were doing is not illegal, but at the end of the day, it's not in keeping with the spirit of paying tax. And as a result of all of that, there's an embarrassment that is going round at the moment that's reflected, I suppose, in the faces of anyone who's in the front of a tabloid this morning who looks like as if they've got a bit of a rouge, a bit of a system going that benefits them. Now, you said that the money should not be going to overseas initiatives. We're talking about such gigantic sums that surely some of that money could have been, for example, the money that Apple avoid paying could have been going to help the doctors in Liberia.
Yes, but Frank, will I tell you something? Go back to the Carl thing. Okay, maybe it went to World War, but at the end of the day,
But Clive, it's important not to go overboard. We can only deal in the facts here.
Okay, all right then. The multinationals are skimming off the money. The money's due to the HMRC. We're talking about UK. I'm not talking about any other country, whether America or wherever. That's due back in our country. That money should come to the people first. Our country, the whole United Kingdom, the health service is breaking down, housing, education, and these clowns want to start and give them money. Yes, support aid, but get our own company up and running first. We're having the RHI thing this morning. You know, it's forgot about. The boilers is all gone. I tell you, the whole country, they're all at the work, Frank. All the governments, all the politicians, all the big companies. I'm not sure about UTV, but I'm telling you something. No, the BBC are out. Look at Mr. Nolan. Nobody wants to know what Mr. Nolan's earning. Why? Anyway, Frank, listen, we need to look after our people first, our children, our elderly. You go to get an appointment for the doctors. It's 3-4 weeks. You go to get time physiotherapy. It's 13 to 15 weeks. It's absolutely scandalous, Frank.
Clive, thank you very much. Bit of a scattergun approach, if you don't mind me saying, and I should emphasise that the reference to Mr. Nolan has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the discussion about tax. That reference is to him being a very highly paid member of the broadcasting community, and fair play to him for being so successful.